So today's, I don't know if we're angry. I know before I jumped on here with you, Sarah, I was in flip table mode over because earlier you and I were watching, and we tend to do this. We watch relationship and purpose videos lately. It started off with red pill culture, and then it just kind of transitioned into being on your purpose. And for those who didn't follow the last episode, go back and check that out on anchor.fm or wherever you catch your streaming podcasts, where we talked about following your purpose, not making another person your actual purpose, and going from there along your journey. But now you and I came across one of our favorite YouTubers, goes by the name of Mediocre Tutorials and Reviews. Such good content. I suggest everybody who's interested in knowing your purpose, figuring out life's twists and turns. He's almost as if he's a life coach, even though he's not a life coach. He'll never say he's one, but he just has a lot of good things to the table. And he did a reaction video to this podcast called The Roommates. And they had on someone who, Sarah, you and I have had mixed feelings on, Alpha Male Strategies, otherwise known as AMS. And they were discussing the validity of marriage in general and marriage as a whole.
Yeah.
And you and I, off air, have talked about this ad nauseum, marriage now versus maybe when the two of us, you know, at various points in our life, we're actually married. Yeah. So you and I have two interesting perspectives to bring to this. We've both been married. We are both divorced.
Yes.
And there are some other similarities and differences that we can get into in the podcast, but our viewpoints on marriage have both changed.
Yes.
From when you and I we're married to our partners. So I'm going to let you slide in there, like in a bad DM, slide in there and just say, hey, Sarah's thoughts on marriage now are what?
Oh, so my thoughts on marriage now are definitely different than what they were. Probably even a year ago. And I was married a year ago. there's a lot that's changed only because of what I've gone through, as a human. And, a lot of it now I'm realizing for me, my view as marriage is a business agreement. That is how I view it. Like if you're going to get married, for me personally, I'm going to get married, it is a business transaction. It is for tax purposes. Like, I don't even know. Like, to me, money is not a thing that I am like looking, like here's the thing. We watched this video and they talked, that was their main point in marriage. Why they were not for marriage is because of losing money when the relationship ends.
I don't mean to cut you off, but a little backstory for everybody. The reason why this video we watched, and again, it's from a podcast called The Roommates. They had a guest called Alpha Male Strategies on. He's been known to be divisive amongst the red pill dating community, but they were talking about that there is no benefit for men to get married. And I thought that was fascinating because the points they were bringing up, the laws and such, and the laws of divorce, that in today's times, there is no need for anyone pretty much to get married unless they plan on having, like you said, Sarah, a business arrangement. Some people have a roommate situation, a child. MTR put up a relationship contract or a marriage contract where if they have a kid and at 18, they decide, okay, our kid's grown. Do we still want to stay married?
Yeah.
Almost as if it's the relationship superhighway and you could literally get off at that point. So that I just wanted to give some backstory for everybody else who may not know what we're talking about. So please continue.
Yeah. So it was interesting to me because it was not how I used to view marriage. And it was interesting seeing people come from this, I could lose everything if something bad happens. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, when my marriage ended, that wasn't something that was an issue at all. So it was, and what do you mean you can lose everything? Like, it just didn't make sense to me. And so I was very open-minded while listening to this. My whole thing with marriage is ending it was very difficult. It was so emotionally straining having to deal with lawyers and all kinds of everything that it's just not something I ever want to do again. Almost like a just in case kind of thing. Like if something goes sour, I don't want to have to deal with that. I'd rather have just a clean break and not have to emotionally deal with all that again. That is my main thing. I guess as a woman, it's not something I have to worry about business-wise and losing the money financially, because the law is set up more in my favor than it is for the men. I am well aware of that. I was well aware of that during my divorce.
Really? You were aware of that?
I was aware of it, but I wasn't trying to get anything. Like that was, I wasn't going to sink to the level, but I've heard people and they're, you know, with divorce situations, and I know how the state of Texas works. My parents are divorced, some of them multiple times. So I hearing from them, know how the system works and know how it works specifically in the state of Texas, which absolutely gives more favor to the women, 100%. So mine is not from a financial standpoint and worrying losing money. Mine is from an emotional standpoint. I don't want to deal with that again. That was a lot on me emotionally.
How so?
I didn't want to have to deal with lawyers. It was, my whole situation was traumatic. And so having to deal with lawyers, I was having to repeat my story over and over and over again. And I didn't enjoy that. I don't like to share. I don't like reliving that moment over and over again. So I didn't like having to deal with the lawyers. I didn't like, it was frustrating finding a lawyer. It was just a lot. It was a lot. And I don't want to ever have to deal with that again.
Well, that makes sense. For you, especially, you know, I'm not going to give away too many details here, but I know your story. And to be quite honest, it's very harrowing knowing how you had to process everything, and actually rather quickly, to be quite honest, from what I know. I can commiserate and say my divorce came on very quickly. One minute I was married, the next minute I was divorced, like that. Thankfully, my ex-wife and I, we had a prenup and we filed a no contest. And that was that.
Yeah.
That was that. Left it up to the state of New York after all that. I didn't have to go through the long drawn out, hey, you know, you get this, I get this, you get this, I get this. That's not something I had to deal with, thankfully. Whereas, let's say my parents, for instance, who I love to use as my, I hate to call them my punching bags, but my points of reference.
Points of reference not as my parents. It's a good word, yeah.
Yes. Where I know the only reason they got married was because of A, loneliness, B, if one person dies, the other person gets their social security check. That was the mindset. Mm-hmm. And C, the where else are we going to go at this point? Even though they don't like each other very much. We're all grown, Sarah, myself, my brothers. We are all adults, grown folk. And yet my parents thought it was ingenious to get married. I'll never forget, too. It was 2012. Long, long ago, land far, far away. 2012, David.
Where I got married.
Where the justice of the peace asked, does anyone object? And my first words out of my mouth were, y'all know this is a trap, right? To my parents. I told my dad and my mom, you know, we could literally just walk out of here, go get lunch and call it a day. This is a farce. I literally called it a farce. So I did object, even though I was the witness, the bare witness of this ceremony, and I'm the one objecting, but they all laughed it off. Everybody thought it was funny that David made a joke. They can't stand each other.
Yeah.
So when I hear these stories of people who are getting married because it's time.
Yeah, that one, because it's time, is that's a social pressure I don't agree with. Everyone's got their own story and their own relationship, and it does not need to be anyone else's. And just because society says you've been together for X amount of years does not mean you need to get married. It doesn't.
Absolutely right.
I will tell you, when I got married, it was 100% like this for me. This was, no, I was very young, very young. It was for life. Like, that was it. I was in it for the partnership. That was, which was 100% my mindset. Like, and I told you this because we were watching the video, and he was talking about how women will be like, oh, if I leave him, I can get X, Y, and Z. And I was like, what?
That's man, crazy. Listen.
What? It didn't make sense. That wasn't anything that ran through my head, through the rough patches or anything. Honestly, divorce wasn't anything that ever ran through my head until the last year. If you know my story, is kind of silly. We talked about pick me. You talked about pick me's with Dio. This is the living embodiment of that, and I don't like to own that. But it was.
Wait a minute. Let me stop you real quick.
Go ahead.
Because if we're going by the letter of the law, and again, guys, if you haven't checked out last night's episode of Damon and Dio, it is on the Twitch channel, Damon G Show on Twitch, as well as on our Facebook Live. When he said pick me's, he was talking about women who are sabotaging other women in its literal translation,
tearing to gain down favor with their own
of men.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you were doing
with my spouse? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Don't go all therapist on me right now. No, I told you I did not know my worth, and I was very, very, very insecure. And so I wouldn't ever tear them down physically. It wasn't about the physical stuff with me. Physically, like in their appearance, I would tear them down about who they were as a person, to my spouse, to, so that they would see my worth, which is ridiculous and stupid.
So your spouse would see your worth.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get clarification.
No, I know. I hate saying it. Like, I hate that it's coming out of my mouth. I hate that that was a part of who I was, and that I felt that I need to go down to that level. I hate that. I hate it. It's gross. It's a gross thing.
Okay. So this was back in 2012, 2011, correct? For you?
It was 2012 to 2018.
No, not the marriage. So you were doing pick me's before the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
No, I got married in 2012.
Yes.
It wasn't before the marriage. Wasn't maybe right before the marriage.
Okay.
Yeah.
So hearing yourself say that and seeing how uncomfortable you are, yeah, saying that, I'm visibly seeing you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And how do you, I think I know the answer, but how do you feel now after hearing yourself say that?
Like, I feel gross. I feel gross that was me. But I'm also very proud of how far I've come. I don't like to think about that. I sank to that level, that I was just felt that worthless, that I, one, needed to find my worth in my significant other, and two, that I felt that he could not see my worth, so I had to make others look worse so I would look better. It's ridiculous and unhealthy and sick. It's gross. It's gross. Like, it's actually like, cringing to me that I did that, but it is. Okay. It's part of my story.
No,
I'll own it.
And this was all for the, to preserve the sanctity of your marriage, almost. The
sanctity of my marriage. Yeah.
Oof.
Mm.
That's a tough one for me to hear, man. That really is, because logically you know me, I would want to shake someone.
Yeah, mentally. I know. I want to go back and shake myself.
So it's fascinating.
That's it's why I preach every single day on knowing your worth. Like it's why I do what I do. It is 100. The worst part about who I was and the worst part about my life is now my reason why. So it was there for a purpose, and that's why I own it. But
Okay. So in keeping in the vein of what we saw in the video today,
Yes.
do you think old you would have been able to understand where they were coming from in terms of why marriage isn't all it's been cracked up to be in our current life situation,
Old
or
me?
would you have poo-pooed it?
Old me, I would have poo-pooed it. Oh yeah, 100%.
Why?
There's a lot of religious stuff behind that.
Okay.
Culturally and religiously, marriage was and still is within my family. Marriage is the end all be all. I would have just ignored it. I'd been like, "What are these people talking about?" Because, like I said, the whole, what do you mean? Financially, they're taking from you. Like, that makes no sense. Like, oh, you're just being, I don't know. I like it, just it's so foreign to me. That's why I was asking when we watched the zoos, like all these questions, because again, it's just I didn't know people were actually like that. And I do and I don't. And usually when I hear those stories, I try not to jump on one side or the other now.
Which is fair.
Now, yeah. Because I know there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more to both sides. We're hearing one side of a story. But when it comes to finances, it's just, especially when, like, if your significant other owns a business, I didn't realize I this is how this is Sarah doesn't know. I didn't realize you had to pay your significant other after divorce, even if you didn't have kids, like they get a part of your business, even though it's your okay.
Well, I don't know. I think it was Kobe Bryant that had said it a while ago, where you weren't shooting jump shots with me, 1,000 jump shots with me before I got famous. So I know at some point back in the day, Kobe, you weren't in the gym with me shooting all those jump shots in the dark. People shouldn't benefit from the hard work you put in before they met you. And I think that's what a lot of what MTR and the YouTuber that shall be remain nameless, as well as people like Alpha Male Strategies, and even in the Roommates podcast, where they talked about that. They referenced the fact that why do I have to pay you for nothing, for things you didn't contribute to? We have no children, we have no property together. Everything I have is stuff I brought to the marriage long before I met you. And what I laughed about was not even prenuptials are ironclad, because apparently there's a thing where people can say, hey, I'm filing under duress, saying I was under duress when I signed it because I didn't know, because I thought I was going to be marrying a school teacher and it turns out you became a YouTube millionaire. And I'm just paraphrasing her, but are you serious? Are you serious?
That's shady to me.
It is
Personally,
shady.
that's
It's
shady. That's
grimy. I'm sorry, it's
grimy.
grimy.
Yeah. Grimy is a great word for that. I'm like, ugh, like what?
I'll never forget. I had a former acquaintance back, I think this was 2010, and her and I got into this heated discussion about marriage and what it is. And she was the first person to make it seem like marriage was a business to me, and talking about not literally not saying run them pockets, but oh yeah, no, I'm getting some money if me and my ex-husband and her husband then and her got divorced. And I said, what makes you entitled to that? I gave up my years, and she felt that made her entitled to his
Okay, so
money.
that's what they were talking about on there.
Yes.
So that's not entitlement to money. That's you can be hurt by that. You can when I because I can understand the pain from that. Like that's what scares me about marriage is, yeah, wasting all this time and like this is what scares me about what we watched today is like putting because when I do a relation, like when I am, I like I said, I am in it for the partnership, like good, bad, all this stuff. And like, if it's like, because they brought up like infidelity, some the waitress comes and all of a sudden you
the
want to be
20-year-old
the waitress.
waitress, all of a sudden you want, yeah.
And yeah, and like I could get being hurt from that. Does that make you entitled to money? No, but that's painful. That's real painful. that would, especially it, that's one of those things where knowing your worth is very important, because the fact that they did that doesn't make you less valuable at all. Mm-hmm. But man, giving up your years, what'd you give up your years for? Like, I don't, that's silly. I don't.
But that's something a lot of these videos that we watch, a lot of women say, hey, I gave the best years of my life for this. I need to come out with this with something. That was your choice.
Yeah. So the only thing I can see, like a, okay, for example, the Hollis company, they built that one together.
Did
so
they though?
They did. They did. They both did. She started it for sure.
That's what I mean.
With his money. he was working.
He worked for Disney at the time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she did build her own. It may have been her money. She built her own wedding business up, or event planning business up by herself, owned it, and it could, and was like one of the top wedding planners in Hollywood. So it could have been her money, but she brought him in on it, and he wrote a book with the Hollis company, and they did all this stuff together. They made a lot of money off of like marriage retreats together. They both spoke together. So that one, how do you feel about like that situation?
Y'all both put equal time into it?
Yeah.
Well, I would think that, because I'm reading the book, and I remember the audiobook I read from him, mm-hmm. his perspective of it. They were a team, a literal team. Yeah. And we've talked about teammates, and
yeah,
one was the CEO and one was the CFO. And that's a little, they're both investing in the business. So I can see both of them saying, hey, I want my part of the business, or I'm going to buy out your shares in the company,
yeah.
or something along those lines. But I always go back to, and this is for both men and women, I'm not going to base with a broad brush on one gender or the other. For instance, my ex-wife always made more than I did per year. But when we first started dating, she was the one that said, I want a prenup if I ever get married. I wasn't going to fight her on that, because it was great. Yes. Because hello, see parents A and B for reasons why a prenup should exist. I didn't have a problem with it. The general rule, y'all may not agree with me, and that's fine. You bring what you bring, you split joint account, you leave what you came in with, and you split the joint account. I'm talking about joint assets that you both contributed to, not she bought the car, I bought the washing machine type stuff. Like, that's just petty.
That's petty.
That's petty.
Yeah. It's petty shit.
But it goes back to our original point here on Damon's Advocate with Coach Sarah and myself. Damon, find me on social media, or Damon G Show on all social media platforms. Just putting that little plug in there. We were talking earlier about it being a business. And this is exactly what this is. It's the point counterpoint. It is, we're going to have the attorneys fight it out in the courtroom for us to scratch and claw it for what I think I deserve. What happened? I remember Wedding Crashers, the first couple scenes of Wedding Crashers. They're divorce attorneys. Remember, I think they're divorce attorneys, right?
I can't remember. I can't remember.
Remember the good times. Remember the reason y'all fell in love, because the couple was just haggling over petty ish. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean. Y'all really going to sit here arguing over who gets, you got like seven cars. You're going to argue about who gets four and who gets three. Sub one, split them down the middle. Boom, boom, boom. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in agreement with you. That was how my divorce for the most part played out. So yeah, I agree with that. It's when people get their emotions involved and become petty. That's where the divorce gets super ugly. Super ugly. It's interesting though. So when I know this, when my parents divorced, my mom and my dad, my dad told my mother's lawyer, he said, make sure that you put in there that she gets half of my 401k, which was interesting to me. And this is probably where I grew up with this mindset and why he was like, okay, she's been, his whole mindset was she's been at home with my kids and right. he was going to pay child support. And so she's done that. So she doesn't have a job. She's now got a house, a mortgage. And she needs some money. So right. That was his thought in that, but I don't know. That's how I grew up. And so like when I was going through mine, that's what I was expecting, which, I don't know. And it's weird to me that people aren't like that, but it's when those emotions get involved and people become
bingo.
Mm-hmm.
Hurt is a powerful motivator for people when they're in their feelings. And I'll be honest, after watching all these videos and everything you and I talk about on this show or just in general, what's the point of getting married? What is the point?
Oh, the only point I can see, other than business, this is one, it would be if you have religious stuff. It's hard for me because I don't believe there is a point. Because even from a religious standpoint, it's supposed to be between you and God, not the law and legal and all that
the
stuff.
The law.
For me, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I know sometimes it's making a statement to others is why people do it. Worth it to me? No.
Just to show off, you mean?
Yeah, or just to be like, I want to prove, like, I'm committed, because it's a commitment thing. People will say that if you don't get married, you're scared of commitment. That is what people say. I'm not saying that.
I feel like that's just dangling fear over somebody.
Yeah. You're not wrong. But yeah, they'll say you prove they have the mindset like I did that this is for the long haul. And if you don't think this is for the long haul, why are you scared of getting married? That is the thought process there.
So if I've been with someone for, let's say, 10 years, 12 years, and we're not married, we have no intention of getting married, but we do everything that married couples do, fight, make up, go through finances, go through ups and downs, have each other's back, X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
What do I need? The tax break? Is that the only reason? Give me the small tax break?
That's the only reason. It's not that much of a tax break either.
It isn't.
My
tax break was 17%, 16% after I got married, as opposed to 22. Ooh.
Yeah, that's not that much of a tax break. I'm in agreement with you on the whole marriage thing, but I'm trying to come from a perspective like my old way of thinking or where the rest of society may be thinking. I did something stupid today. I didn't tell you this. And I was gagging. I hadn't seen this movie since I was a kid, but I went and watched The Notebook today. AKA women porn. I went and watched The Notebook, and it was like this whole, there were so many things in there. I was like, red flag, red flag, run, run, both of you, woman, make up your mind. Like, it was a mess. It was a whole mess. But that's what society believes is.
They believe that's what love is.
Yes, and real. And it's not. Like, that's such a short hour and a half glimpse into someone's life, and you don't see the rest of the bullshit.
The one thing I will say, if you have a healthy marriage and relationship or healthy relationship,
yeah.
The end part, I agree with.
I was mad at the end part.
Heartless Damien actually likes the end part, because you know what? That's legit. Because we always talk about love's a choice, right? We always say love is a choice. That man chose.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Like, I'm mad at
it's like Steve Rogers.
It made me feel some way. That's why I was like, this is stupid. I'm not in a place to watch this right now.
Well, reminds me of what does it remind me of? On a less sappy, dopey note, Steve Rogers, or maybe just a sappy and dopey, Steve Rogers and Peggy. You know, think about this. Think about this. Captain America. Let me holler at you real quick, Captain America. You didn't even go on one date with this girl in the 40s. Your dumb self goes in the ice, comes out, and then you think, oh, she's 70. Let me go holler at her.
Oh,
she lives. And then you there, you've only been on one date with Peggy Carter, as far as I know. The time heist, whatever you want to call it. But you keep a picture of her in your locket thing forever.
Yeah, well, yeah. I have not been in love like that. So it's also Hollywood. Paints this picture for women that's how most men, that's how men should be. And honestly, men aren't really created like that. I have not yet met a man that's been created like that. I've never seen that. You can't build a man from the ground up like that.
I heard you could build a woman from the ground up, though.
No, you cannot. No, you cannot. You cannot. You should be able to. You should. God, son of a. You should not be able to build a woman from the ground up. Submissive freaking train. Mm.
Oh, good. No, you brought up the next point I wanted to make. So thank you for that. So in the video, they talk about the term being with someone, a woman who is feminine.
Okay.
Submissive.
That's the
word. And immediately when I heard the word submissive, I knew you were going to text me at some point. And you did text me. So what are your thoughts on the word submissive used in this phrasing? And don't worry, guys. We're going to leave a link to the video for you to check it out for yourself to get some firsthand perspective. But Sarah asked me about submissive. So when you heard that, Sarah, when you heard that this man says he wants to date someone who is both feminine and submissive, in context in which you heard it, maybe not in which it was meant.
Yeah.
Thoughts.
So he's lucky. Well, he's not really lucky. I wasn't going to do anything, but I'm in a great mood today. I'm really centered and at peace. So I heard it and I was like, and I calmed myself down instantly, because it was just, that's usually a big trigger word for me, being submissive and being trained and building a woman from the ground up. Those are big trigger words for me, because it implies, to me, it feels like it implies less valuable, weak, because of my what I being a pick me being in that I was willing to be so submissive to save sort of any my marriage, and it made me feel worthless and weak, and so I don't really like that term now.
Okay.
I stopped, thank goodness, and I listened to what he said and I understood what he was trying to say. I just think submissive is the wrong word. And I think with a lot of this red pill these red pill men, and it's, they use the term submissive, I'm hoping at least, not in the way that a lot of women are taking it. To me, what they want, I think, is a woman to hear them out, like actually listen to them, be a team player, validate what they have to say, and then we talk about it. Like, not just
amenable for change.
Yes, yes. Like, if you're gonna, when you approach me with something that I may not agree with, and you know I'm probably not gonna agree with it, you come, I listen, I try to validate so I know where you're coming from. And this is with any sort of a business relationship, relationship with kids. This is very healthy, any sort of relationship. Listening, actually listening to what they are saying, trying to understand where they're coming from, validating whatever that pain point is or their whatever is motivating that thought, and then approaching how you feel about it. I think that is more of what men want rather than just this submissive little meek,
spineless.
I don't think they actually want that. I don't think they actually want a spineless woman. They don't. They want a teammate, but a teammate that's in it with them, not trying to overpower them, trying to,
That's the phrase, in it with them. That's the part for me that I think they were going for, and just the I think the language used made it a lot more extreme than it had any right to be. Personally, I've been really blessed to have dated team player women in my past. I have been really blessed to have been married to a team player person. And that is something that I need in my relationships. I need to be, even my friendships, it can't just be one-sided. It has to be, hey, we are in this together because we're friends. We're in this together because we are in a serious relationship. Are we trying to build something? We trying to both get the bag, as people say. And that's just the base starter pack. If we're talking, you know, of like Pokemon cards of dating, that's the base starter pack.
Yeah.
You know, they got to be about their purpose. They got to be about being a team player. And this whole happy wife, happy life bull crap, just because y'all saw it on a bumper sticker don't mean it's true.
Oh, God. I hate, I may have said this once in one of our things, I hate that saying with a fiery passion. I hate it. It's a cop-out. That phrase is a cop-out to me, from both men and women. Like, I used to hate when my ex said that, because, again, I wanted a teammate. I didn't want someone just submitting, just like, I didn't want that. I didn't want this. Like, it's spineless. It really is. And women don't actually want that. They may say they want some guy, the happy wife, happy life. They don't actually want that. I can almost guarantee they will lose respect for a man who is just, we've had this conversation. They don't realize it, but they will lose respect for a man that won't stand up for himself.
That just dotes over them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they will. I've seen it happen time and time again. I knew from a very, very young age that I didn't like that. I mean, like, very young age, I had a boyfriend I broke up with because he was too nice. Like, that was legit my words as a 13-year-old. You're too nice. And that was my exact words. You're too nice. And I'm a little feisty, and I feel like I would break your soul because I know how I can be. I hate bashing men who are really sweet like that, because they're great, fantastic men that can be really sweet. But am I attracted to it? No. Maybe there's, I don't know. I'm personally not attracted to
the overly nice guy.
Yeah. It's an instant turn off to me.
Oh no, I can speak to that as a reformed nice guy. I told you the other day, I went through my emails and I saw something back in my early 20s that I was sending to exes or at the time my girlfriends. I'm like, oh my gosh, I slapped the crap out of me for writing something that I wrote. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, no, I like the back and forth sassy banter. And then I also like, I know personally, I like to be, this is going to sound terrible. I like to be called, okay, I'm going to put it this way. I like to be called out on my shit. I actually like want to be called out on my shit. I was going to say put in my place, but that's not the right wording. I like to be called out on my shit. I want to know, hey, because again, to me, it's a teamwork thing. And I'm all about growth and I want to grow as a team. And I like to be called out on my shit because I want to grow. I don't like being stuck in the same place. If there's a flaw within me that I can't see, like I want to be called out on it. Of course, I'm not going to just take everyone's, like, I'm not going to go through comments and read them and take everyone's word as no, but like in a partnership. Yeah. That's something I will definitely take like seriously, process it and discuss it. Like that's, I like to be, I don't want to be just doted over because it just loses its value. I want to be called out on my shit.
Personally. Which is fine. But then people are going to say, well, it has to be done a right way. It has to be done a certain way. You got to call me on certain things and not everything, because then it's a chess match.
Yeah. That may just be me personally though. Has there ever been a time you called me on my shit that I was like, the fuck?
Probably.
Really? You would call me out on that. But I don't, do I react poorly? Like I legit want to know for my own.
Again, I'm not going to say what I called you out on, but I've had to remind you to fix your face
every once in a while.
Things that you have said out loud where I said that wasn't cool.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Look, I am not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. One of the hardest things I've had to read was an email that an ex had sent me about my own personal behavior. Really? I did these things? And having the self-analytical conversation internally say, oh man, if I see it from her shoes, yeah, I was a dick. You know, where you have this aha moment of these traits or these behaviors I was doing at one point in my life, which I didn't think from my perspective was a big deal, turns out to be, oh, I did do that. Oh, I could see how this was perceived as that. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying everything she wrote was right.
Yeah.
But verbatim, but I do see where she's coming from.
Mm.
And I think for me, that is the biggest growth point, is that when I want someone to, I don't want to say, call me on my shit. I'll say, challenge me with, dude, come on. Mm. Okay, cool. I could rock with that. And you give me actual data and evidence that says, dude, not cool, man.
Yeah.
Great. Got it. Cool. But if you're just going to be spouting off the mouth because everything I do is offensive to you, and even though it's not offensive, you just don't like the sound of it.
That's just unhealthy person. That's just unhealthy. Yeah. That's unhealthy.
So let me switch gears here.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's switch gears here real quick, and we'll talk before we end the show about two things. Number one, appropriate behavior in relationships. And then number two, we'll tie it all together by saying yes or no with everything we've talked about today. So I've had some clients that have brought to my attention that, long story short, they don't approve of their partner's behavior on social media.
Oh, that's social media.
They are tired of being the mystery partner, the secret boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever you want to call it, secret husband, wife.
Yeah.
And it made me think about self-disclosure, times I've done that in my life. Let me ask you, when you were married, did you hide your husband on your social media?
Not at all. Not one bit. And the whole reason I didn't do that was out of respect for him. And because one, I would want want that in return, because if you don't, you're going to get people. I mean, now, especially now that like I'm not married and I don't have pictures of me up with anyone, I get stuff all the time and DMs where I'm just like, why? But I didn't want that happening. Also, I was out of respect for him, for his own security in the relationship, is how I saw it. It was like, look, I'm not like I'm showing that I am you're my person, I'm your person. Like, it was out of respect. It was proof that I'm choosing that one and no one else.
Got it.
This was how I viewed it.
Did he?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I can talk about my client. I'm not violating any trust here when I bring this topic up. They were concerned that all the pictures that used to be of them together on their partner's social media page have all but vanished.
Mm.
Now they brought it up recently and it was a big to-do. And the response was, well, it's my social media page. If I want to keep that part of my life private because of stalkers or because of this, that, and the third, I feel it's my right to do that. I'm not one to jump into people's business like that unless you're paying me to, because that's, my job. But what I told the person was, I said, there are pluses and minuses to keeping your dating life private on social media. Number one, it really isn't anybody else's business what you put on your page. Goody gumdrops for you. I've had my druthers on what people put on their pages. Before we got on air, I got into this big fiery conversation about it. The secret relationship. I used to run the hashtag boyfriends of Instagram, because every time you have one of these influencers that post things on their page, you often think, who's the person taking the photo?
Yep.
Man or female. Who's taking the photo? Not everybody's walking around with a photographer.
Yep.
So just things.
So
when I brought this up to my, let me just get this one point.
Yeah, you're good.
When I brought it up to my client, I said, well, what did you ask? What did you say? What was the conversation? And it's not for a business reason, because I could tell you, for business reasons, I know people do that, because business is not personal. You have a personal page, you have a business page. Don't F with your money.
Yeah.
Cool with that. But if it's because I don't want anyone to know I'm dating somebody because I'm trying to just
keep options open.
That's the best way I could put that. Line.
Yeah.
Line. Because then there's some people that are embarrassed by their partner. It's like, no, I don't want you on my page. It was a full year before we were Facebook friends.
Mm.
A full year. It wasn't because I was trying to hide her. Just didn't want to. I'll be honest. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to be the dude that's posting up his girlfriend, or she's posting me up, and then we break up 3 months later. And then everyone's like, oh, what happened to so-and-so?
Yeah. Oh, that's definitely going to be me in my next relationship too. Cause it's no one's business. So here's my thoughts on all that. It is your choice on what you put on your social media. But if your partner has a problem with it, like if it's bothering them, that's a conversation you guys need to have. The communication. And if
converse,
it bothers,
man.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. If it bothers your significant other, they clearly feel like, I feel like they would feel disrespected or like not valued enough in their life. I will tell you from my experience, my husband and I my ex-husband and I finished things like, it was like 6 months before an explosion happened. And I started to not post things with him online. And people noticed. people were like, why aren't you? They literally would message both of us, like, why aren't you guys posting pictures together? We went to New York City one time and with our kids and posted a picture. You know, he was in one of my pictures, and they're like, oh, so he is still in your life. And I see, they congratulated him on being in one of the photos. I was like, oh, y'all are rude. Again, I didn't want to come out on social media with the issues we were having. And again, this is probably the most I've ever come out about my relationship online. I don't talk about it, and a lot of people still don't know that we're done, because it's not something I advertised. Never advertised an ending, never ever, you know, it's, and I won't advertise probably a start either, just because it's no one's business. But if it's also a conversation, like if it's bothering, if you, that's an insecurity within the relationship, and that's a conversation that should be had if you're feeling insecure, and go from there. Because I understand not wanting to put that stuff online. Very much
Is it
so.
disrespectful?
If your significant other is feeling disrespected, then yes. And it depends on what you're posting. Honestly, I feel like it depends on what you're posting. If it's not for a business, and you're posting a lot of cleavage selfie shots and nothing with your significant other, that may be a little disrespectful, in my opinion. Okay. If you don't have a, what is it? What is the stupid thing you and Dio were talking about with the feet? I was going to
Oh,
do a
the
feet thing.
OnlyFans.
The OnlyFans. If you're not an OnlyFans, if you don't have an OnlyFans and you're posting stuff like that without your significant other, I feel like it could be disrespectful, and your partner probably, there's a chance your partner may perceive it as that as well. I know, yeah, it depends on what you're posting.
So
Depends on what you're
I want to just let people know, if you want to know what the hell we're talking about in terms of feet and OnlyFans, go back and check out
Yes.
yesterday's live stream on Twitch, Damon G Show on Twitch with Dio and myself. We got into a nice little chat about OnlyFans,
Yes.
and you can find it there. I'm not going to post that here. I've had this fight. I've had this argument, this exact argument. I've had it argued on me. So I've been on both sides of the spectrum.
No.
As I've gotten older, I've realized I don't care as much as I used to when I was younger, as long as it's not egregiously, i.e., I literally have disappeared off the face of of all your social media planet. Why? That warrants a conversation. It
Yeah,
warrants
that's
conversation. And I would expect someone to call me on that. Why? Why'd you
no.
remove me?
Yep.
Because I could tell you. For me, you know, I'm a broadcaster and I've had issues with the job with people who have seen me in public and at the time recognized me with other people and started to make really disparaging comments.
Yeah.
You know, when people recognized me in public when I was back doing radio full time. Yeah, it's a weird thing. So, and then at the same token, I remember somebody got mad at me because I didn't reference them in a show that I did live on radio, because it was because someone made a joke, a co-host made a joke about me being on Tinder. Well, if you see Damien on Tinder, swipe right. And because I didn't call them out on live radio, I got near full after the fact to say, oh, I'm not on Tinder anyway. It was a bit for the show. So I decided then and there, after the run-in with the fan and this moment, to, if I'm doing broadcast stuff, you ain't gonna see nothing other than broadcasting things. I have my own personal Facebook account, my own personal Instagram account, but my business stuff,
Just
nope.
separate. Yep.
Keep it separate.
Yep.
And
That's
no, folks, there is no Damien OnlyFans, just so you know, there is no Damien.
not
And if I
funny.
ever did have one, it will be me literally in a tank top and shorts holding Funko Pops while wearing fitted caps. That's it. That's all you're getting.
Sweatpants. That's what's in right now. That's what all the
I only wear those at the gym. You want to catch me at the gym with my gray sweatpants? Cool. Don't demonize gray sweatpants there, Coach Sarah. Don't demonize.
I will not demonize them. I will not.
Let's put a bow on this real quick and just say
yes, please.
we've discussed marriage, the topic of marriage. Is it worth it? And you've brought up your points of it's for a business standpoint. Yes, I brought up if there's children involved, once those children graduate or out of the house and they're no longer under the living tree, you reevaluate because MTR brought up a really good point about there's being dating and being together without getting married. Then there's marriage. And then there's married with kids.
Yeah, it's a
So
different thing.
different genre of music almost. So I like the idea of potentially a couple who's married, they might be having the 18-year itch after their last kid graduates or leaves the house to say, do we really still want to stay together? Because we wanted to save it, not for the kids, because that's also a cop out, but their feelings may have changed over those 18 years before this person conventionally moved out. So I see that point of view.
So what's interesting with that point of view specifically, we're gonna jump back on this, because it's that one's a weird point of view to me because again, I'm not gonna get married unless I'm like I'm in this, like I'm in this. So again, I'm a big loyal and commitment person. So it like that one's weird to me. I'm like, you're in for the like it's hard for me to compete. I'm like, you're in it for the long haul. Like, is it again, I'm not there. Like, is that something you do once you I know things change once kids move out of the house. I feel like that's a speed bump or roadblock to work through. But again, that's I don't know. It's hard because I am not in that position. I haven't been in that position. I don't know that I will be in that position. So,
And for anyone listening, I don't want people thinking I hate if anyone else gets married.
no.
I'm speaking from my own perspective, and I have seen relationships change in my own viewpoint from when I was younger till now. Marriage doesn't make sense for me. Since I don't want children, it doesn't make sense
No.
because I could literally be with someone for the next 20 years. And we ride or die, we got each other's back, blah, blah, blah. What's the piece of paper for? Who am I showing off for? Especially, I'm not religious. That's another thing. I'm not even religious.
I agree. I'm
What's
with
going
you on that. I'm with you on that. Like, I 100% am with you on that. I don't want, yeah.
But I want everybody to go check this video out. When we do the show write up, you'll see the links. It's called Mediocre Tutorials. And reviews on YouTube, tons of good content. The original interview itself was something called the Roommates Podcast, with their special guest, Alpha Male Strategies, otherwise known as AMS. All good content creators, some more divisive than others, but we personally recommend MTR or Mediocre Tutorials and Reviews because there's a lot of stuff about financial education, red pill culture, dating norms. The change of dating norms, and he has a lot of
Yeah, he's good feet.
really interesting guests on his show.
Yes.
To be fair, it's where the Damien's Advocate idea kind of was birthed from, was something with MTR. So I owe a lot of this new segment that I do to him. So check that out. As always, support the show. It's on anchor.fm. You can find it on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Support the show, rate, subscribe, retweet. We take donations. I take Cash App, Coach Damon G. Anchor, you can donate to the show. Shout out to the one or two people who donate to the show from the Anchor app. But that's where you could catch us. Catch me at Damon G Show on both Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and on Facebook. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you could either DM me there, contact me there, or even email the show at DamonGShow@gmail.com. So as always, be well, be safe. Without you, there is no us. And remember, these are just our opinions. You don't have to abide by it, but it's
No.
just a view, and we're playing Damon's Advocate. We'll catch you next time.